Yeah, 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 come and take a look at the snow. Bright white as far as your eyesight goes. Come and take a look at the fields of snow. I'll just get my coat, then we're good to go. Come and take a look at the lake. Let's have a quick skate before it gets late. Come and take a look at the frozen lake. Put your clothes on, mate, don't make that mistake.
Greetings, holiday shoppers. There are now 143 shopping days left until Christmas, and I think you know what that means. It's time for another episode of Christmas Creeps, your one-stop shop for holiday movies and TV shows all year round. Hi, my name is Joseph Wade. I will be your host for this evening. Here with me tonight, as always, are my good friends, co-hosts, and confidants and what have yous, Johnny Five, the human robot.
Hi.
And Mr. Bradford.
Hi.
Boyos, on this wonderful 101st episode we've embarked upon.
Embarked upon?
See, you see, I tee you up for the video game reference and you pick up on the dog pun instead. That's what I love about you. This week on the show, our first impulse, because this is episode 101, we thought, let's go and find, there must be a 101 Dalmatians Christmas thing out there. I thought for certain there would be like a TV movie or a straight-to-video something or other. And it turns out there really isn't. There's a TV episode of the cartoon, I guess. That's yep. A Christmas thing. And we could do that for a stocking stuffer at some point. But for a full episode, we can't really dedicate that kind of time to it. So instead, we found the next best thing. We decided to go back to the Air Bud well and talk about the fourth holiday entry in the Air Bud verse, Puppy Star Christmas.
Woof. Literally and as a pun, woof.
My dogs are barking.
Before we get into that, should we talk about some Christmas product news?
Things other than this movie? Yes, please. It just came across our desk a couple days ago here at Christmas Creeps HQ, but the good people over at International Delight have decided to grace us with an entire line of elf-themed coffee creamers. Buddy the Elf-themed coffee creamers. And the first thing that I notice is that on the label, Will Ferrell's face is conspicuously absent.
You just have a generic Buddy silhouette. And I assume that is because they didn't want to pay extra for Mr. Ferrell's likeness.
Yeah, the likeness rights must be through the roof.
Well, they could have got Martin Short like they did on the Buddy action figure we saw last time.
That's true. But yeah, so coming to stores near you soon, we got peppermint mocha flavored, caramel waffle cookie flavor, because they can't call it Stroop waffle for some reason, and frosted sugar cookie flavored.
Because that's too foreign of a word, and we all know that most Americans will be too afraid of it to consume it.
Which is patently absurd, because I feel like every mom in suburban America would jump at a Stroop waffle, you know?
Starbucks has pretty ingrained that into suburban moms. Karens the world over know about Stroop waffles.
Except, well, our Karen probably does too.
Not our Karen, but our Karen is an exception to every rule about Karens.
She spells Karen weird, it's fine.
Yes.
There you go.
It works. Gentlemen?
Yeah?
Would you?
Yeah, I'd fuck with this, yeah. The Stroop waffle one especially, like, that sounds pretty good to me. Like, I'm already like halfway through a bottle of Reese's Peanut Butter Cup coffee creamer, so like I'm a garbage human being anyway.
You can't see the face I'm making, but it is one of abject disgust. But I'm one of those people that doesn't put anything in their coffee. Maybe cream or like maybe milk if it's like really bad coffee, but sugar belongs absolutely nowhere near any coffee whatsoever. So.
Listen, we're still in the middle of pandemic 2020, and I could go at any time, so I'm going to chase my bliss for as long as I can.
I mean, get it. I'm not trying to yuck your yum here, but...
It's 150,000 fucking degrees outside. The only way I'm drinking coffee is if it's free.
Fair enough.
That'll do it.
I can't imagine actually buying, like, coffee accessories in the middle of fucking whatever month this is anymore. Is it April now?
I got bad news for you, Chief.
It's March.
I got bad news for you, Chief. It's June. Anyway, the thing, no, for real though, the thing that blows my mind about this is, so these things are already in store shelves as per this article that I'll put in the show notes, but also the article was written in July, and that somehow makes it worse to me, because we're here in August, you know, people are already starting to talk about Halloween, and I still think that's too early.
How soon do you think the lead-in is, like, how much pre-pro has to go into creating these things and branding these things?
Oh, I think these were locked in, like, 6 months ago.
Okay.
But it's still, it's how many years since Elf?
Yeah, that's one thing. That's friggin' wild to think if it was less than 6 months, like, it's April, pandemic is in full swing, the world is burning, and somebody's like, hey... Hey, fellow International Delight employees, you know what I think would be really good? Elf creamer. And we're going to release it in August.
Elf juice.
Elf juice. That's what I'm going to call the drinks that I drink on this show from now on.
Elf juice? Why didn't I think of that?
Elf juice.
The thing that keeps coming to mind is that period in the mid to late 2000s where there were just a bunch of movies of games based off of random like dude movies, like this, there was Reservoir Dogs, Scarface, Godfather, a From Russia with Love game,
Fight Club. Yeah,
yeah. Polygon did a video about it recently. It's very weird, they all came out just that same short period next to each other, they're just all gone again.
Yeah, the Warriors, I remember there was a Warriors game too.
The Warriors game was somehow actually good, if I remember right, though. That was the weird part.
Didn't Rockstar do Warriors?
Yeah,
I think they did.
That was probably part of the reason, I would imagine.
Yeah, that's true. But also, like, just the fact that they did coffee creamer, I guess that fits, because Elf is all about, like, Buddy the Elf is all about sugary things and cramming them into places they don't belong. But that...
this is cramming sugar where it kind of does belong, though. Like, this is the sensible thing.
Yeah, so, like, why didn't they pivot and go, like, my suggestion that I put up on Twitter, hey, Lay's, we've got an idea for your next potato chip flavor. How about just maple syrup and spaghetti?
I mean, it would probably not be terrible, and you know that chip companies have been struggling for years to come up with, like, a holiday-themed chip.
Oh, yeah, I mean, a couple of years ago, you know, on this very podcast, Jonathan and I tasted some European pine tree potato chips.
Yes.
And it sure was something.
Do you guys remember Jones Soda?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Remember how they had the Thanksgiving set you could buy that had, like, turkey-flavored soda and mashed potato and gravy-flavored soda? Did you guys ever try that?
Yeah, I remember that.
That was a wild thing.
I was too afraid to try that because my taste buds can only take so much.
I admittedly, while I wanted to try it, never got around to actually ordering it or trying it. Mm. Just a thought. I feel like with some of these special holiday things, you just kind of have to lean into it and assume that people are going to buy it for the sheer novelty of it.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, people, like, are going to buy it to, like, dump it down the sink and have an empty container that has the thing on it.
Yeah, which is, I mean, par for the course with our current arc of society, but...
That's anyhow. True. I mean, I can't say I'm any better. I have three, like, Coke bottles on my shelf that are empty that come from Disney World just because they look like Star Wars things. So,
You drank the Coke in them, though, didn't you?
Of course I did, because I'm not an insane person.
Well, then it's totally fine.
I remember who told the story recently. Someone of those two was telling a story about the Star Wars Episode 1 cans having a full set of them and then finding them years later unopened. And it just worried me. Who was that?
That was me, I think.
the thought occurred to me was like, didn't you know you could open the can up and just empty it?
I do distinctly remember in high school having a friend who actually collected all of them, and he displayed them on his bookshelf like they were like a prized possession. This was in 2000.
I mean, it's 2000, and you guys were in what, middle school, high school?
Yeah, he had to have been like, what, 14 or 15 at the time. So
kids love garbage. Look at my branded garbage collection.
Honestly, you know what? That me too. I'm 34 years old. I love trash. I just declared in our Discord channel that I have become a Pringles connoisseur. I have no shame anymore. I've just lost it. My will to have some semblance of, like, adulthood about myself, it's gone. I don't care anymore.
Kind of messed up. We were having chip chat in the general Discord. By the way, Joe and I did, as an aside, Joe and I did a little bit of an experiment between episode and this episode. We were like, hey, it'd be really cool to have people that follow us on Twitter join us in the Discord just to hang out and shoot the shit. Well, guess what? Yeah. We're just going to tweet out the link to our Discord. There's no way that this could go wrong. Certainly there's no bots that search Twitter for open new public Discords and come in and spam stuff. So we tweeted out, this certainly can't go wrong. 30 seconds pass before some rando is in there spamming racial slurs.
And that experiment ended very quickly.
Yeah, not a great idea. That said, if you want to join us in the Discord, send us an email or DM us on Twitter and we'll get you that. But we're not going to make it public for obvious reasons. But anyway, back to Chip Chat. We were talking about chips, and it is very messed up that there is no all-dressed Pringles chip.
So for those that are not in the know, what is an all-dressed chip?
So an all-dressed chip is a Canadian creation where they took basically every flavor that they had in the Canadian chip factory. That would be salt and vinegar, sour cream and onion, ketchup, and barbecue, and just mashed them all together on one chip, because why not? And that sounds disgusting, but it's actually the best flavor.
It is. It's like the perfect combination between like sweet and savory and also just slightly disgusting.
It's so good, though.
It's great. And yeah, like and I wonder if that's just because it's like become a proprietary formula for Lay's, maybe.
I don't think it's proprietary. I don't think anybody has the rights to the all-dressed name.
Okay.
Because you see all-dressed Ruffles, and then searching online, Zach's Voodoo chips are apparently just all-dressed under a different name, maybe with, like, some extra spices thrown in.
Yeah. Well, I know there's a ton of different Pringles flavors out there. I've started kind of going through them myself because I'm, again, an idiot. And I haven't come across that one yet, but I would be surprised if at some point I didn't.
Oh, now I really want to make homemade chips.
Brad, if anybody could recreate homemade all-dressed chips in their own home, it would be you.
Oh, thanks, buddy.
Yeah, if anybody out there knows of the closest facsimile to an all-dressed Pringle, please let us know, because I would love to try it.
I'm sure I would guess they have them in Canada, since it's such a ubiquitous flavor up there. If you live in the great neighbor to the north known as Canada, and you know that all dressed Pringles are a thing or not a thing, please let us know.
Well, let's see. A quick Google search reveals that there are at least ketchup-flavored Pringles in Canada.
Not the same.
Not the same, but they also have roast chicken and herbs, flame-grilled steak, smoky bacon, and grilled paprika-flavored Pringles.
Oh, man, so, I could mess with some, like, smoked paprika.
Yeah, chips. So that is definitely a possibility now, isn't it?
Yeah. Welcome to Christmas chips.
Welcome to Christmas chips. We're not going to talk about this movie. Forget the movie. We're going to talk about Pringles now.
All right, so first off, fuck those Old Bay chips. Fuck that shit.
Oh, yeah, no way.
Second off, what is more dire, an actual Baconator or the Baconator-flavored Pringles?
The Baconator Pringles are more dire. I'm gonna go out and say it. I'm gonna say it right now.
I think
it's more dire.
I would say the actual Baconator.
Really?
I will say you have a greater possibility of contracting heart disease from a Baconator than from a Baconator Pringle.
Yes, but listen to this. It's the Baconator chips are like, it's desperation square, like, you're eating a facsimile of a junk food, you know, like a fast food meat burger in your apartment at like 4 a.m.
Hey, I live in a fucking house.
I'm not saying you, John. I'm saying like target demographic for this chip.
Yeah, me.
Have you had them? Are they good?
They do, in fact, taste like a Baconator, which I've had only once and is like, well, now we never have to do that again.
I mean, I'm sure the chips are much healthier than the burger.
Yeah, but the thing with the chips is you could just eat a couple of them and be like, yeah, I'm done with this flavor, instead of being like, well, I committed to a, fucking two-thirds pound burger.
Yeah, and it's, plus it's like just bacon flavor, which is probably an art, I think a lot of times is an artificial flavor anyway, so it's like, I wouldn't be surprised if those chips are vegetarian. The Baconator chips. You know?
Just by like, sheer virtue, just by sheer virtue of the fact that they're like reconstituted potato flakes and not actual meat? Yes.
Yeah. It's like artificial as hell. It's like, actually no pigs or cows were harmed in the making of this excessive chip based on this excessive sandwich.
Yeah, I will say though, since you mentioned Zaps, the Cajun dill Zaps are fucking amazing.
And since we're on the, also on the topic of Pringles, I will say the Buffalo Ranch Pringles are the best. It's the best substitute for eating buffalo wings without actually eating buffalo wings.
Yeah, my biggest problem with a lot of like the weird chips flavors is that they're all Lay's, and Lay's is just a shitty base to use. Like Lay's are what you eat when you don't have a you don't know what to get. You're just like, oh fuck, I guess I'll get Lay's. Nobody's gonna complain that loudly about Lay's.
I mean, for how much the U.S. loves chips, our chip game is incredibly weak as far as, like, the mainstream brands go.
Brad, I have to stop you right there. That last sentence you said, you could just cross out potato chips and insert any other food item.
Yeah, pretty much. Is there any food that we, like... I mean, we're pretty good at burgers.
I'm going to say it's burgers, barbecue, and steaks. I think it's basically any meat product we have destroyed.
That's true. We do have the corner on barbecue, but that's about it. It's like, if you want any sort of good flavor, you got to go to the smaller stuff. Like, I mean, Kettle isn't small. I think it's owned by, like, one of the major conglomerates now. But Cheddar Beer was a very good flavor, and they got rid of it, and I'll never forgive them for that. And now they just have, like, Himalayan salt. Chips are not very good here compared to a lot of other places that I've had chips. Canada, Europe, Japan, all of them have better chips. Just saying.
Yep, pretty much. So, hey, guys, Puppy Star Christmas.
Hi, welcome to Chipsmas, Kreese.
Is there an episode? There's got to be Christmas episodes of chips, right?
Christmas episodes?
Yeah, of chips.
You mean chips. Christmas? You mean a Christmas edition of potato chips?
No, I'm talking about the television show Chips.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah, almost definitely.
Okay.
So yes,
okay.
Chipsmas Creeps will be about the show Chips, and then Christmas Creeps will be about chips.
I love it. Coming soon. Puppy Star Christmas is a movie.
Bradford, I have to interrupt you once again.
Yes.
December 15th, 1979, the third season, 15th episode, Christmas watch of the TV show Chips. The Christmas season doesn't mean any less work for Ponch and John. At the community church, thieves run off with a 15th century bell that means a great deal to the local kids.
What? A 15th century bell? Oh, I guess, like, weren't the missions not founded until much later, though? Like, what's a 15th century bell doing in California?
I mean, yeah, it's... Maybe the time might be wrong, but yeah, it's not that odd or off to think of like a Christian mission in California at that point. I don't know.
I guess.
But there's more. The thieves also operate a car theft ring and prey on unsuspecting car sellers by taking the cars for a test drive and never returning.
Oh, you know, unsuspecting cars. Okay.
When the criminals get into an auto accident, their strange behavior gives them away, and they are arrested.
Their ingenious rig of where they go to restaurants and order food and eat and then don't pay for it.
Clever.
Clever ruse, criminals. You did it
again.
Did they
just kick the guy out of the car? Or was the 60s and 70s just a simpler time where they let you test drive and say, all right, bring it back, honor system?
I think it's the 70s version of how if you sell something on Craigslist and meet the person, they can just definitely rob you and steal it from you.
Or definitely murder you and leave you in a dumpster behind an abandoned mall. Yes.
Yeah, basically.
This is why when you want to sell something on Craigslist, you murder the person who's trying to buy it from you. they're going to murder you if you don't murder them.
That way you get to keep your thing and their money. Wow. Okay.
Are we don't want to talk about this movie, but I guess we have to.
We have to. That's the last interruption I have. I really have nothing else. So we have to talk about it now. Once again, this is the fourth time we've talked about dog Christmases in the Air Bud verse. So yeah, we had we had Santa Buddies.
Mm-hmm.
Then we had the Search for Santa Paws.
Yes.
And then Santa Paws 2, the Santa Pups.
Oh, right.
Because Santa Paws skewed off away from the Air Bud series into its own timeline.
Yep.
Well, guess what? We're back in the original timeline now.
Kind of?
Sort of?
Sort of? Like, the Air Bud timeline is becoming more convoluted than the Zelda timeline very quickly.
So, how exactly does Robert Vince keep getting the money to do this?
He must be getting distro deals from, like, Netflix at this point, right?
I mean...
Either that or it's a money laundering operation.
I mean, my best guess is that he just has the flight logs and just knows some names.
Look, okay, long story short, this man is apparently using some kind of dark money to fund this entire project.
Yeah, this has to be like a CIA psyop or something. I don't know where he gets his money from, but he keeps getting money to make more of these.
Because here's the thing, Santa Paws 2 is notionally at the end of the Air Bud universe, because after that, he pivoted to the Pupstar universe, and Puppy Star Christmas is Pupstar Part 4.
Yeah. Not a Disney joint. We found this out. Air Bud, yes. We open with a title card, Air Bud Productions, notably no longer associated with Disney whatsoever. It's its own thing.
Which I take that to mean that after Santa Paws 2 and before the first Pupstar, Disney stopped distributing these films and just straight up stopped pressing the discs for these movies. So I think he just cut out the middleman, which is Disney, and went straight to Netflix.
Yeah, in 2018. No, in real talk, with all this talk about dark money, I think the whole talking dog thing occupies very much just kind of a higher echelon of the same genre of those YouTube videos that are just recommended by an algorithm.
Oh, you know, no question.
Finger Family and Too Many Heads or whatever, Elsa Dentist Visit. Like, this is absolutely filler to put on in front of children, ethical or not, and that is exactly how this is, what this is made for.
Speaking of things that are like literal empirical proof that Satan exists, what the fuck is up with that Ryan's World thing? I've never understood that.
Oh, the kid who opens up toys?
Yeah, it's the kid, he opens up toys and like overreacts to it, right? Like that's the joke? That's what it is?
I mean, he's like a little kid, and unboxing it was a big thing in YouTube anyways, and he just achieved critical mass, and he's what, 8 now, I guess?
That's like an entire franchise that's strictly, I think like spearheaded by that kid's mother or something, because like she's the one who's pushing him to have his face on like products. In I see his face on products and stores and stuff now, and it's weird because like, no, now I get to unbox a thing that this kid probably unboxed at some point.
He's got his own toy line and his own video game line,
and the toys are about unboxing things. Like the toy is a bunch of the toy itself is a bunch of boxes that you open up and there's other shit inside them.
Oh yeah, this has been very much a thing for 5 years now with like Hatchimals and LOL Surprise. Why do I know about this?
Because you're a dad now.
No, I knew about this before I was a father. Like the big push with toy makers is that unboxing on YouTube was hot for a very long time. So they actually started marketing and focusing toys around the experience of unboxing. And guess what? Extra benefit. You have to buy it again to unbox something else.
That's true.
I don't know, man. It's a whole kettle of fish. But I think that Ryan doesn't even approach the lower echelon of like some of this stuff. I know Joe knows about like Finger Family and Elsa Batman Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah.
Elsa Gate, like all that stuff. Oh yeah, man, yeah. This stuff gets real bad real
like,
quick.
When like we have to the point where like they're like abusing the algorithm to get it in front of more kids, and like where YouTube had to start like cracking down on stuff like that.
Yeah, I've seen things that our friend, a boy named Bodesu, billionaire dad, has posted on Twitter that his kids find. And it's just like, Elsa is pregnant and also at the dentist, and her teeth are falling out, and you have to do emergency surgery on her.
Yeah. It's deeply unsettling, too. It's just cringe-inducing. Yeah. And, okay. I have to take back something that I said like 5 minutes ago, because I definitely did just find the 4 DVD collection of these movies. So somebody's printing these discs. I don't know who or why, but you can buy it if you absolutely do not have an internet connection.
I mean, you got to target grandmas who still only have dial-up.
It's true. That's very true.
So here's a real important question, though. Amongst all of this bullshit that Robert Vince, who... I was going to say, why the fuck was it Russell Madness, which he also did, not Air Bud branded, but no, it is, too.
It is, yeah. It's part of the Air Bud entertainment genre, and for some reason, I've also watched this film. It is baffling.
You willingly watched Russell Madness?
I watched it back when I actually wrote reviews of things. And
oh, that's right. That's yeah, right.
I did it as a goof, and it's a very strange movie that takes professional wrestling absolutely seriously. And
I don't even think professional wrestling takes professional wrestling absolutely seriously.
The big emotional moment in Russell Madness is when the kid who owns the dog finds out that the dog is being so the movie is about a dog that wrestles.
Mm-hmm. obviously,
and it's portrayed as like, oh wow, this dog really knows how to wrestle and he's great at it.
That's a little Russell... too much money for them to call it WrestleMania.
Oh yeah, yeah. Because Vince McMahon would sue their asses off if they did. But the big emotional moment in the movie is when the dog's owner, this little kid, he gets wind of the wrestling promoter paying one of his other wrestlers to take a dive during his fight with the dog.
That's why you pay wrestlers.
Yeah, that's what wrestlers do. They decide who wins and who loses. I'm sorry if, you know, hey, you know, Santa Claus is not real and also wrestling's fake, but... I'm sorry if you just learned this.
I mean, they're actors and they are athletes, but absolutely planned ahead of time.
Oh yeah, listen, wrestling is real in my heart. Okay,
talented but, people. Let's not deny that. But yeah, absolutely, but once fake.
Again, these things are made for children, and it's the big emotional moment of Russell Madness is when the kid finds out that wrestling isn't real.
Are we gonna have an entry in this film series a couple times from now when kids are gonna find out that Santa isn't real?
Maybe.
All right. So, 2000 MVP Most Valuable Primate. 2001 MVP Most Vertical Primate.
Is that a basketball one?
That is skateboarding. It went from hockey to skateboarding.
Pornography.
2004 MXP Most Extreme Primate.
Oh, is that one snowboarding?
That is snowboarding.
Continue.
That's all the monkey ones he did.
Okay.
Then I guess no, he did Monkey Up, which let's click on that. That is a talking monkey trying to be taken seriously as an actor. Also, speaking of the movie we actually watched, when the fuck did it become that people could understand the dogs and it wasn't just like Rugrats?
That must have been like an invention of the original Pup Star.
Yeah, that probably came with the shift from Bud to Pup. And you know what? Maybe that's... I wonder if that was like a thing demanded by Disney, and then they just did away with it as they split from Disney.
Maybe.
I don't know, man.
That's a good question. But, okay, so... Puppy Star Christmas.
We really don't want to talk about this movie.
I'm trying.
We haven't even started.
I'm trying. Okay.
2018 Netflix. Sequel to Pup Star.
Okay. Puppy Star Christmas is part 4 in the Pup Star saga. There is Pup Star, Pup Star Better Together, Pup Star World Tour, and then Puppy Star Christmas. Now, the thing to know about the whole Pup Star franchise is it is tangentially related to the Air Bud universe because... one of the main characters of Pup Star is Tiny, and Tiny was the orphan dog in the original Santa Buddies.
And she also was the dead mom girl in Santa Buddies 2 and one of the other movies as well.
Wait,
yes.
The actress, the voice yeah, actress?
The voice actress was actually a live-action character in a couple of the other Santa Buddies movies.
Okay.
She's the singing girl from the radio station one, and yep. She's the main or the younger orphan from the one where Clementine from Reno 911 is like an evil asshole running an orphanage.
Okay. Yes. And also, that same actress voices Tiny in this film, where Tiny is now a mother. So is this the fastest transition from child star to mom actress? I'm done. I'm going to move on. For us watching Puppy Star Christmas, this film picks up threads from the first three films that we, of course, we're never going to watch.
It assumes a very real familiarity with the pup star canon.
It is as episodic as any Marvel film has ever been.
Fortunately, it's a movie for six-year-olds, so it's very easy to pick up on what happened.
It's like, okay, yes. the dog with an eye patch is evil. I think I'm following along.
Yeah.
Hey, can we talk about him for a minute? Because the dog with an eye patch is named Kano, and I think that's a very specific reference to Mortal Kombat.
I believe it is.
The thief with one eye? That's definitely a Mortal Kombat reference in this movie for four-year-olds.
So, let's just go through our dramatis personae here.
Okay. The film opens with a wedding. The wedding of Tiny, the orphan dog from Santa Buddies, and also the star of all three other Pup Star movies, and a dog named Pup, or as he calls himself, P-U-P.
And don't worry if you forget who Pup is, because he wears a giant necklace that has P-U-P on it at all times.
He wears Pup bling, as it were.
Do you want to take any bets on if any of these movies before this made a Notorious B.I.G. reference at all? Or is that just above these films?
Oh, and a Notorious P.U.P.? Oh, that's a 100% guarantee there, bud.
Yeah.
But anyway, so Brad, take us through the dramatis personae here.
Okay, so we have Tiny and we have Pup, and then they have their four children, who are Rosie, Charlie, Cindy. Those are the girls. And the thing you need to know about those girls is they're the girl dogs, except Cindy is the nice girl.
And they all look like they're little tinies, basically.
They're little tinies. They're all Yorkshire Terriers.
Yes.
And then we have Brody, who is a different breed. He's like a Westie, I think, and he's the same breed as Pup.
He's pure white.
Yeah, he's a boy, a different breed entirely, which I don't think that's how puppy litters work, but whatever.
But whatever.
Then we have their manager. Somebody's going to need to help me out on this one.
Their manager? Okay, so their manager, which Pup and Tiny call them their dad, and his name is Steven. Steven is played by David DeLuise, the youngest son of comedian Dom DeLuise.
There you have it. And then we have, okay, we have like a grandpa who's, I assume, is the father of the young girl in this, because there's always a young girl who's,
who I was talking about, Steve.
Oh, okay, okay. Yeah. No, there's the manager, the guy with the earpiece in all the time.
Oh, that guy. Okay, yeah. That guy's named Shep.
Shep, that's right. Okay. So Shep is the manager for Pup and Tiny. And he's kind of like their go-to guy. And he's around. And then there's Steve, which is like he's a guy. He's an older guy.
He's
the father of Lou?
Lou, yeah, Lou is the girl's name.
And by the way, we have a Deb Nom alert. Lou's mom and ostensibly Steve's wife is dead.
But it's okay, because living in their house with them are Shep and then Lou's live-in maid.
Hey. Roland's mom is dead too, because he grew up in an orphanage. It's a double Deb Nom alert.
We haven't gotten actually, there yet, John.
Yeah, I was going to get to that. we're going to get to the bads in a moment. Because we got more dead mom alerts in the bads. Where were we?
Okay, so there's Shep and their live-in maid, whose name I did not catch.
Ida.
Oh, and Shep and Ida totally are making eyes at each other the entire film.
Shep is coded as, like, the most stereotypically gay character you could ever fucking imagine.
Yep.
I mean,
there's that.
He's the same character as the one from Crazy Rich Asians, who is exactly like that character.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Same actor until I looked it up and realized, no, they are not the same actor.
Yeah.
That's on me. Plot?
plot. Well, let's get into the bads real quick.
The bads. Okay.
Then we have the bads. We smash cut to Mexico, where we have Julio and Bark, yes, who are, I guess, actors that were somehow wronged by Pup and Tiny at some point, and they were bads in a previous film. I don't know if Julio was, or if he's just kind of along for the ride for this one.
All right, I'm trying to figure it up. I'm pretty sure Bark is from Pupstar 2, maybe.
Okay.
And Julio is I see him on the cover of Pupstar 3, but not on 2.
All right.
But Kano is in all of them.
Okay.
Yeah.
So these are perennial bads, and it's pretty obvious that they've been wronged by Pup and Tiny at some point. And then, after Mexico, we smash cut to Brooklyn, where Kano and Roland are garbage men. Roland, you must know, is a human. All the rest of these people we have described are dogs.
And Roland is played by, oh god, I gotta get his name here, this Jed Reese from Galaxy Quest, and he's in not only this film, all three of the other Puppy Star films. So,
I mean, it's a living.
It's a living. I'm not gonna disparage him for getting a paycheck.
Yeah, they team up. They're the bads, and we have Roland is an orphan. So that's where you had mentioned the double dead mom alert. But we come to find out later, Julio is also an orphan. So we have the rare, vaunted, triple dead mom alert.
Do we even have a siren for a triple dead mom alert?
No, it's just going to be like the Kentucky Derby like thing, because it's the triple crown.
I was going to say that, or just like the airplane, like terrain, pull up, warning.
Terrain, pull up. So, what are the bads trying to do?
They see that Pup and Tiny are holding a Christmas gala, or like a Christmas special, to introduce their new pups to the world.
And they see that it's announced on it's a parody of TMZ, but it's called DMZ. And I have to imagine, because TMZ stands for 30 mile zone, the 30 mile zone around Los Angeles. So I have to imagine DMZ stands for dog
demilitarized
zone. Demilitarized zone. Dog mile zone? That's nothing. Okay, sure, whatever.
This entire movie takes place in the North-South Korean border. That makes a lot more sense now. I insist on making you both very mad right now.
Okay.
We're going to review Pupstar real quick to see what the fuck this even is. So let's just look at the IMDb quick. Pupstar 2016, a Yorkshire Terrier, which is Tiny, competing in a televised singing competition, is separated from her owner by an opportunist dog pound worker. So it's yet another one of those mid-2010s, it's a movie about American Idol thing, because that's the only sort of advancement we understand in the world now, is that, no, you need to be told by an authority figure that you're good. That's how you become good.
Right. But also, like, the kidnapped by an aggrieved dog pound owner, that's literally the plot of Santa Buddies.
Oh, we're going to go through some of the character names in this movie, though.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Nikki Blonsky plays a character named Lady Papa. Ziggy Marley, who apparently just needed some fucking money that year, plays a character named Dog Gnarly.
are these the dogs that appear in this film?
Because yes,
a stereotype.
Yes, dog Gnarly was the racist stereotype Jamaican dog that's in every one of these fucking movies.
Okay,
because it's a funny joke. Matt Weber plays Blake Shelty, and Steve Valentine plays our other returning dog, Simon Growl.
Is that the English bulldog in this movie?
Yes.
Oh my god! And I assume the poodle was Lady Papa.
I would assume so, yeah. Bark and Kano are from this movie.
So, and Roland, for that matter. There's a couple minor dogs that hang out with Pup and Tiny, and John just described them, and that's all you need to know about them, is that they're all stereotypes of either ethnicities or nationalities or a celebrity.
Oh, I'm not fucking done. The action-packed new season of the franchise continues with the story of Tiny, this is Pupstar Better Together, an adorable Yorkie pup who, after winning the Pupstar TV singing competition, is suddenly launched into an adventure where she's replaced by a street Yorkie, Scrappy, and the two swap lives in a dog-filled fish-out-of-water tale that ultimately demonstrates life truly is better together.
Oh, cool. It only took one sequel for them to go straight Scrappy-Doo on our...
You remember the other Yorkie at the end of the movie that had, like, a highlight in their hair for some fucking reason? That's Scrappy. Yeah. You would not know it unless you have, you would literally not know it except from seeing anything about the second movie. There's no explanation.
It took them one to go Scrappy-Doo, but it also took them one sequel to go Tale of Two Cities, apparently.
All right. So we have a few bad, let's say, in this one. We have Brian Hull plays James Corgi, who I'm guess is supposed to be James Corden.
Oh, fuck off.
And then we have Dog Gnarlig and Ziggy Marley getting those checks cashed. Madison Pettis plays Kitty Purry, which, first off, fuck that. And second, isn't that literally the name of Katy Perry's cat?
I think so, yes.
Okay, that's kind of, I didn't know.
And yeah, Roland is in this one again. This is where P.U.P. shows up, Mackenzie Saul, which made me laugh because a person named Mackenzie voices P.U.P. and then a different person named Mackenzie plays Lou in this movie.
Wait a minute, so P.U.P. isn't even in the original Pup Star?
No.
What the fuck? I thought he was the main character of the whole thing.
No, Tiny is the main character of the whole thing.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, I thought it was about the both of them, like, spending three films trying to, you know, marry up. This could have fooled me.
Ugh. All right, we're getting some repeat performances in Pup Star World Tour, but there are a couple new ones. Brian Hull now plays Jimmy Kibble and also K-9 West.
I hate this so much. I'm leaving. I'm going to see. I'll talk to you guys in a few.
And thankfully, that is it. Julio does appear in this movie. But what is the plot of this one? Pup Star is back with an all-new movie that takes the popular singing dogs on a trip around the world, where Tiny and friends find fantastic new songs and meet exciting new canine singers, read stereotypes that prove music really is the universal language.
Oh my god.
You can't see it right now, John, but I'm trying to pull my own face off right now.
Yeah, you weren't using it anyway. Oh.
Okay.
So we have the first movie is literally just American Idol but dogs. The second movie is A Tale of Two Cities but American Idol but dogs. And the third movie is American Idol but dogs, but also a bunch of racist stereotypes.
Speaking of racist stereotypes, can I talk about the visual gag in the bar in Mexico?
Please.
Go ahead.
If you're going to do this, you may as well lean into it. When, actually this picks up back on our plot, when Julio and Bark learn that, Pup and Tiny are holding a gala through DMZ translated into Spanish. They're sitting at a bar in Mexico, and every other dog in the bar is a Chihuahua. I thought it was kind of funny.
Did you see what they were drinking? 50,
margaritas, right?
Yes, margaritas out of
toilets.
Yes, out of cups chased toilets. Like toilets. Yes.
I mean, not great, but if you're gonna do it, you may as well like put 50 Chihuahuas in a single scene. It's kind of funny.
Yeah, it's one of those jokes that you just get kind of like a ha. It's kind of the reaction you get out of it.
Ha, a bunch of tiny dogs wearing sombreros drinking out of toilets.
That is the daddest of dad laughs, yes.
Yeah. I'm mildly amused by this.
Okay, so let me try to start making some sense of things here. So the pups, the puppies, get into trouble because they eat Steve's Christmas turkey and also... Or not Christmas. They eat Steve's Thanksgiving turkey, and they basically ruin the meal. And Pup and Tiny decide to discipline the puppies. And as far as I'm aware, doing a Christmas special is their way of like instilling Christmas spirit in the kids. So that's why they're doing the special, and that's why the special gets promoted on TV. The villains find out that the special guest for the Christmas special is Santa Claus. So they decide to hop a train to the North Pole because, sure, why the hell not?
Which there are, first off, on the train up there, there are elves on the train going up the North Pole because apparently they've been at not the North Pole for a while. And also there's just regular ass humans going up there too.
Yeah. And now the Polar Express will just take fucking anybody. And it is not special anymore.
And we should mention throughout this entire thing is a fucking musical, so there are more song moments than not song moments.
Oh, yes, very much so. But their plan is to kidnap Santa Claus, have Roland become the new Santa Claus to ruin the Christmas special and also take over Christmas? Do I have that right?
Roland seems to be in it to get paid, And the rest of the dogs are all there because they want to ruin the Christmas special. Yeah.
Yeah. But none of the dogs can replace Santa Claus, so Roland just has to put on the suit and grow a fake beard and like, hey, I'm Santa Claus now. But hey, since we're talking about the North Pole and Santa Claus now, we have some returning favorites with us, because guess who's back? It's everybody's favorite Christmas elf, Eli. I thought Brad would be more excited about that.
Pour one out for my boy, Eddie.
Eddie, who appears...
they don't even get a Jack Russell to replace him.
No, they...
It's a different dog.
It's a different dog. They just name check him. Like, they show him. There's Eddie. He doesn't say a fucking thing. It's not Richard Kind. He doesn't even appear. No, he's in it, isn't he?
He's like a Cairn Terrier or something. Like, they can't even be bothered to put another Jack Russell, who... Poor Eddie the elf dog. Yeah.
Yeah, rips. But Eli is back, and that...
Eli is back.
Honestly, it has me more excited than anything, because Danny Woodburn is just great.
The way they introduced him, so weird, though. Like, they do, like, an in-situ, like, storybook where Steven, like, comes up to the pups after they eat a turkey, and he's like, you've been very bad, but I'm going to share with you one of my favorite Christmas books. It's about Eli the Naughty Elf, and then they just have, they cut to the North Pole, and then they have a dance routine, and then they cut back, no moral. It's just the weirdest thing.
But then they circle back around to that at the very end, so it's like this whole thing was a story that Steven was telling the whole time?
I have no idea, my dude.
I don't know, man.
I'm assuming that was supposed to be a longer bit, and then they cut some of it. Because it doesn't make any sense
this movie
whatsoever.
Is exactly an hour 30 minutes. There is definitely some cutting for time rather than for any sort of continuity going on.
We are not talking about approximately an hour 30 minutes. It is 90 minutes on the dot.
Yes,
I think, which is probably some contractual Netflix thing. I don't know.
Maybe so.
All I know is that I watched it on times 2 speed exactly, so it was 45 minutes of my time exactly rather than 90 minutes.
So Netflix's algorithm tells them that a season 3 of any given show isn't going to get any money, but they'll put 4 of these fucking things out.
Sadly, sad but true. But
there are a lot of musical numbers in this, by the way.
If anything else, it gives us an opportunity to see Eli sing and dance, which is pretty good. I'm going to give him that. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
And only we care about this. You, the three of us on this podcast, and hopefully the listeners at home, are the only ones who care that Eli has returned for a fourth go-round.
When is Eli going to get his own movie?
That's a good question. That's a damn good question.
What's up with
those
two dead reindeer?
Yeah, so there's 6 reindeer in this film for some reason.
Yeah, oh, I forgot about that. Okay.
It's not even acknowledged. Santa's just like... he names all the reindeer. He skips. What does he skip? Dasher and Donner, right?
Yeah, he skips Dasher and Donner, and it's very awkward.
So, I think we need to address the elephant in the room.
You mean the reindeer in the room?
Well, there's that. But
well, the reindeer not in the room is the problem.
So, in the past 3 movies, we've had Santa Claus, and we've had the dog equivalent to Santa Claus, Santa Paws, who also lives at the North Pole. And there's a soon-to-be kind of this parallel operation going on because there are dog elves, elf dogs,
Eddie,
that work in the workshop with the other elves, right?
Yes.
In this movie, they are completely absent. Memory hold.
Yeah.
The only elf dog there is Eddie. What happened? Did they all die? Did they move to the South Pole? Was there a schism between Santa Claus and Santa Paws? Because they were best buds before, but now we got nothing except for Eddie.
I mean,
he's been replaced by the doppelganger.
I assume it's like a British Royals kind of thing where like the Santa dogs don't have any real power anymore, so they just kind of send them to a Christmas farm upstate
where they can chase rabbits and play and sleep all day if they want to.
Just like the British Royals, which is a strange analogy in retrospect.
Also, people can understand dogs without Christmas magic now. So
yeah, so this is probably like a splinter universe where... So we have to talk about that now, don't we?
This is the Air Bud Succeeds timeline.
Yes, goddamn, I don't want to make the Zelda joke. Fuck you. I was gonna say this is where Air Bud doesn't defeat Ganon.
That's better than mine.
In basketball.
Let's
this is where Air Bud loses the basketball game to Ganon. This is that timeline.
Well, okay, I mean, you guys went straight to the split timeline thing. This all takes place in the same universe, right? The Santa dogs are nowhere to be seen, which also means that the Christmas jail crystals also do not factor into this film.
So no, there was nary a crystal.
Nary a J.O. nor a crystal to be found.
Christmas everywhere, but not a crystal to J.O. I don't know. I assume it's just because they had to concentrate on something and they couldn't include everything.
I mean, I think there's really, honestly, one factor, and that is budget.
Yeah.
Because I have to assume that hiring an animal trainer and having dogs that are trained to do specific things is not cheap.
That's true.
Obviously, hiring human actors, hopefully, I mean, featured extras, whatever. I guess that's not that expensive. Probably cheaper to hire human featured extras and extras than canine extras. So that's probably the number one consideration. And then two, it's a children's movie. Who cares about continuity is probably the other big factor.
Yeah. And let's not get it twisted here. Like, of course, this is a children's movie meant to entertain small children. And we are way overstepping our bounds to try and unravel this pretzel. But nobody cares about this but us. And I understand that.
But it's baffling. They could have just made a bunch of talking singing dogs with absolutely no plot. They are the ones who made this plot, this Metal Gear Solid-ass plot where it's like, I hope you played watched the previous three movies to make a single goddamn lick of sense of this.
And also the other required reading of three other Christmas dog movies as well. Because guess what? You know, Eli's back. Eddie's back, kind of. Santa Claus, played by Richard Rale, he's back too. And they didn't have to go through that much effort, but they did.
This dude just has like a Wes Anderson-ass stable of actors, because Caitlin Marr is in like a dozen of these damn things now, and she's only 16.
Yeah.
Richard Rear is always Santa. Even when he's not playing Eli, what's the guy, Woodburn?
Danny Woodburn.
Danny Woodburn is still voicing Bulldogs in half the other fucking movies.
Yeah. I mean, That's a good thing to have as a filmmaker, I guess, is to have actors that you can rely on. That's fine. I don't have a problem with that, but it does kind of make for an odd thing when you've got this whole weird continuity and they you're just kind of expected to keep bringing these people back. I don't know. Let's also discuss, though, Richard Rale, who has his returns as Santa Claus, and when they kidnap him and Mrs. Claus, and they put them in this cage made of candy canes, and Santa says, he says to him, I thought this is the funniest thing in the world to me. He just goes, all right, what's the scam this time? So this has clearly happened to Santa before. Or maybe he's just referencing the other times that Santa has either been kidnapped or rendered useless in an attempt to destroy Christmas. I don't know.
I'm gonna go with the a different take on this, because Santa clearly demonstrates intimate knowledge of all of these characters' past history.
Well, because
he
he's
knows
Santa
they're
Claus.
Scammers. Because he's Santa Claus. Oh, he talks about Julio's time in the junkyard and how he was the happiest dog, and how he did deliver a train to Roland in the 1970s, but the orphanage master, who's always evil, stole the train.
Yeah, I guess that's fair.
I mean, I'm just imagining Santa's just someone who lives in New York who's been robbed like three or four times at this point. You're just like, all right, I got the decoy wallet with a fake ID and $50 in it. We're good.
Yeah.
But also, in that same scene, there's a really fun bit where, you know, Roland is going to be assuming the role of Santa Claus, and he opens up Santa's naughty list to, like, erase his name from the naughty side of the naughty list. And then the naughty list rewrites his name and then underlines it for him. I thought that was a good little bit. I don't know. Okay, you guys are clearly not impressed with this movie anymore. So let's talk about the other, the reindeer in the room then. The awkward, bedroom-eyed reindeer in the room.
Yeah, there's a scene where Roland flirts with the reindeer and the reindeer flirt back. It's really weird, and I don't like it.
The reindeer, like, flashes its, you know, gives him, like, bedroom eyes, and then he goes looking foxy, Vixen.
Really weird. And also Cupid. He like flirts with Cupid and Vixen.
Oh, yeah. He's like, are you playing games with me, Cupid? And Cupid, I hate that I wrote this down. Cupid says, no, I just have resting, loving eyes. Like,
yeah, it's the worst. It's bad.
I know, I know you're not supposed to drink bleach to kill coronavirus, but I just want to drink bleach for other reasons now.
All of the reindeer are some sort of generalized stereotype personality. There's like, here's the thing. It's like, I watched this sped up, sure, whatever, but there's like a reindeer with a German accent, but God, if you told me to guess which one was supposed to be the one with the German accent,
that's
Blitzen,
because the other German named one isn't in there.
Oh, right. Is that also the one with like the rainbow leg warmers?
That's Dancer.
That's Dance. Okay. Oh, okay. I see what we're doing here.
They've done to the reindeer what they've been doing with the dogs the entire time. They've given them one stereotypical personality that's based on their name.
What about the backwards cap one that is like a hip-hop dancer, I guess? Is that Dancer? No, wait, that you said that was Dancer.
It would have been Prancer, I guess.
Okay, all right.
I have a challenge for either one of you. It's a challenge I'm not I cannot complete myself. Describe to me how to tell the four puppies apart in appearance and personality.
So Brody's the boy, and he's a totally different breed, so that's pretty easy. He also has a chain that says bro.
That's true.
Terrible. Cindy is the nice dog, and she's wearing green. I'm assuming Rosie is the really spoiled, stuck-up, self-centered dog, and she's wearing pink. And Charlie is the middle dog with no personality, who's wearing blue. Is that right? Did I get it?
I don't know.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bradford watched this 90-minute film in 45 minutes and fucking nailed it. So
look at that.
Yeah. Okay, so they save Christmas I don't even know how they save Christmas in this. They basically don't. Everybody just shows up at the North Pole and then Christmas is saved.
Can we also talk about the fact that I don't think this was the case in the other films? You can just take a train to the North Pole now.
I mean, I assumed it was like an overt reference to the Polar Express.
It is, but it seems to be like anybody can get, it's not a magical train. Anybody can get a ticket and just go visit the North Pole take a coach to Santa's workshop with no security.
Yeah, there's shockingly little security for this operation. I don't know, man.
There's that.
I mean,
so there's that.
I assume it's a factor of Santa's workshop has to be operating on some kind of a deficit, and they need to make up that budget somehow. So they're just starting to sell
tourism.
Instead of giving away magical tickets to children who are in danger of not believing in Christmas, they're just selling them to any jackass off the street. And at this point, it's more profitable than the actual operation.
Or in the case of our heroes, quotes, air quotes, they don't even have tickets. Isn't there like a whole scene where they just like mess with the guy checking the tickets for? That scene didn't need to be in there.
Yeah. They're just...
like, they could have just bought tickets.
Oh,
they're presumably fairly well off.
And in the middle of all this, the puppy star pups hitch a ride on Santa's sleigh back to the North Pole when Roland Claus comes to disrupt the show, right?
Yes.
Have we even talked about, I was off getting a beer, but did you guys talk about Roland's scam? The scam?
No, because it's not important.
The actual scam?
The actual plot of the thing? Yeah.
Well,
no.
We need to talk about it because there's a very good screenshot that I got.
Okay.
So their whole plot is they are no longer doing a naughty nice list. It is just you buy the toys directly. Parents buy toys directly from Santa.
Oh, that's right. Nudge. Yes. Okay. I forgot about that.
Yeah. That's their whole thing. And so they're now Santa Corp, I think. But there's a really great screenshot I grabbed of an infomercial where Roland is Santa Claus, and the website to go buy toys is www.santaclaus.pull because of course it is.
Of course it is. Hey, real quick, I gotta know, is santaclaus.pull available?
It is. .pull domains do not exist. Obviously, under the new rules, if you had, you know, 15 grand or whatever, you could probably make .pull exist, but that's a lot of effort.
It's a lot of work for a really dumb joke. Well, unfortunately, yeah, that's not available. However, santaclauspull.com is available. If you want to if you want to start up like a Christmas themed porn website, there you go. You can buy it you can buy it for a dollar.
Please wait, a dollar?
It's a dollar per month.
Oh man, that's tempting. please tell me you searched SantaClausPoll.com in incognito, because I definitely searched SantaClaus.poll in incognito.
I did not, because I like to live dangerously.
Because I assumed that there were three possibilities for the SantaClausPoll.poll website. Number one, the most likely is that it didn't exist. That ended up happening. Number yes. two is that in some weird amount of foresight, the people that actually made this movie bought a joke domain, which is way above the level of effort that anybody would expend on this movie. And then possibility three is that it was a porn site. So I definitely had to put that guy. I turned on the VPN and turned that guy on.
Yeah, remember the good old days when you could like watch a movie and they'd mention a website and then you knew for certain that they didn't bother to actually like buy that website. So you could go and beat them to the punch and boast a bunch of porn on it. And then they would give you like $50,000 to buy it from you.
I know.
That's happened to the Austin Powers, one of the soundtracks. They had the zipit.com whatever thing on there.
Oh, really? Well, and then somebody bought it and put a bunch of porn on it. And
yes.
And they, oh, that's good on that person, I guess, for foresight.
Zipit.com is no longer in business has recently been listed for sale. Click here to inquire. Oh.
It's something, it's a lot longer than I figured what it is. I think it's like zipit.com or some stupid shit like that. Anyway,
and they still paid $50,000 to get it taken down.
I'm not sure. I'm not remembering the specifics because I'm not remembering anything more than fucking 4 months ago. Let alone when did Austin Powers come out? 1974.
Yeah, basically.
Before we were all born at this point, basically.
Anyway, yeah, when Austin Powers came out in the year 1863, that was back when you could still like just no one knew how the internet worked yet. So you could get away with that. It took about the second time someone paid like five or six figures for a website of their own company's name before they were like, wait, we can just fucking sue you. There are six reviews on IMDb for Puppy Star Christmas.
Oh, tell me. Please tell me.
The top one is Last Resort Holiday Flick 5 out of 10, which is just basically says, if you've watched literally every other movie on Netflix, you could watch this, I guess.
Oh, well, we should have followed that advice.
Oops.
Review 2 says, 1 out of 10, that this part ruined Pupstar.
What? As if somebody was a fan of Pupstar?
I'll read the entire review for this one because it's one sentence. I love the first three parts, but this is completely bad, to be honest. You know that Twitter account, This Person Does Not Exist, that just, like, compiles random, like, fake people out of like composite pictures and data and stuff.
Yeah.
This review is about a person that does not exist. 10 out of 10, super cute. My 11-year-old daughter Bella can't get enough of Tiny in the Pupstar movies. We also have a Yorkie named Tiny. She insists we watch the movies together. None of this shit has fucking ever happened.
Shit that didn't happen. .txt.
The next one is someone who's definitely trying for a job as a movie reviewer. Touching delivery of a very special message about the meaning of Christmas. 10 out of 10.
Oh shit, John found my secret IMDb account.
Here on Jeff Bezos Amazon.com, we have a paid review. Somebody who has been bribed to review this movie favorably. Christ Center Gamer writes.
No.
Thank you, Airbutt Entertainment, for sending us a screener to review along with a stuffed bear, an apron, and a hat, candy for a gingerbread house, dog treats, and toys. And the rest of it doesn't matter. It's a 4-star review.
Yeah. At least they're being upfront about it.
Last two reviews. 4-star, more or less, basically saying, the first two were good, the third one was kind of whatever, and this one's kind of even more whatever. Then the last review is 1 out of 10, worst and complete garbage made by Canadian film producers.
Oh, I think I had... Is it Kyle Dummers?
Yes.
Yep, I've got the same one on Amazon.
Oh, God.
This is what ruined my original view on the entire Pupstar franchise, especially with how the producers handled it, with making a truly innocent character like Julio look like a bag dog, when in reality he wasn't. As a result of this, the entire Pupstar franchise was forever banned from my entire library of digitally purchased streaming movies. I've since regretted ever purchasing it on iTunes and Amazon, much like its predecessor Pupstar World Tour. Way to ruin an entire family-filled franchise, Robert Vince, you talentless son of a bitch.
This is actually a different review. It's the same spirit, but he rewrote the review. Because he says that it has been permanently removed and officially banned from his library of digitally purchased movies.
Oh my gosh.
Hey, guys, I want to play this game too.
Yeah.
So on Letterboxd, here's the most popular review of Puppy Star Christmas. They give it half a star. A user named Tyler says, "This is what mommy puts on the TV for me when her tennis instructor comes to the house while daddy's at work."
That's okay. That's pretty good. That's all right. I still like this very angry man, very upset at how this ruins the entire Pupstar canon. I don't know if it's serious or not, but I love it.
That can't possibly be serious.
I have to assume it's a goof.
But the point, you know, point taken.
Oh, this was it Kyle Doomers, K-Doomers on IMDb? Not to call this dude out, but he has some amazing reviews. He apparently does not like the Gruben Adventures of Billy and Mandy because there's too much toilet humor.
Okay.
I guess.
Stay with Hotel Transylvania.
Okay. What did you think you were getting into, my dude?
He says, babe, such garbage that it inspires vegetarianism in certain people.
Good lord. Okay. We gotta...
And then amongst all these other dog movies and other kids movies, he's reviewed Fright Night twice. Very, very glowingly both times.
Wait, 1980s Fright Night or 2010's Fright Night?
1985 Fright Night. Oh, okay. Read it twice.
Okay, fair enough.
God. I wish I had this guy's, like, I don't know. He has a
I wish I
like,
cared this much about anything.
Yeah, I wish I had any sort of interest in anything. I wish I wasn't so dead inside. Kate Dobers is living a more fulfilling life than me right now.
So, the movie ends. You know how this movie ends.
They save Christmas. How? Save we don't know.
They save Christmas through the power of invading somebody's home and Christmas spirit. Julio and Ronaldo.
Yeah, they basically just shame Julio and Roland into being good people.
Yeah. And then that's it.
And then one of the last things we see in the movie, which got a pretty good chuckle out of me, was Roland getting shipped back off to the orphanage and sitting in a little like semicircle but full of kids and just telling the kids, "Hey, you know what else? I was Santa for a while."
Yeah, he has the huge train set and is playing with the train with the kids. And is like, "You know, I was Santa once."
So he's just reverting to his childlike self. Oh, that's adorable. I hate it.
And one of the last scenes also is the two bad dogs locked in jail and someone saying, "You'll never be able to buy a follower after this."
Oh, that's right. They put him in a candy cane jail, which is clearly the slats between the bars are very large enough for the two dogs to walk completely out of it.
Oh, Jesus.
It's very good.
Well, hey.
And by good, I mean bad. And by bad, I mean good.
That's, yeah, it's so good. It's so bad. So now...
No. I would say this... No, this movie does not get the benefit of so bad it's good.
Fair enough. But that means we do actually have to discuss crankometer time. So, hey, the crankometer is our patented XY-axis rating for how to score these films. We score them, the X-axis is the Christmas quotient, how Christmassy the film is, and the Y-axis is the quality quotient, how good the film is. So, gents, how Christmassy is Puppy Star Christmas?
It's okay, I guess.
It's Christmas because they told me it was Christmas.
Yeah. I mean, there's a subplot about Santa, or I guess a plot about Santa and the naughty and nice list, and they, like, almost graze the side of the argument against the commercialization of Christmas, but this is a talking dog movie made for Netflix in the year 2018, so, of course, they don't get it. Anywhere True. Remotely right?
Of course.
Yeah. Like, at this point, I feel like their addressal of the commercialization of Christmas is because other movies did it, not because they have any real conviction.
Right,
yeah, whatsoever.
I would say, based on our usual metric of, like, could this take place at any other time? Yeah, it could, and it was called Popstar, and also Popstar Better Together, and also Popstar World Tour.
Yeah, it just so happens to have Santa Claus in it, because I think that was... The next logical step. The algorithm dictated that to maximize your Popstar dollar, you had to make a Christmas version.
Yes. Like, there are some movies where you can kind of... Yeah, it kind of naturally flows that it takes place at Christmas versus... Oh no, you guys just set this at Christmas to have it be set at Christmas, and this is definitely the latter.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm going to give it a 1?
Yeah.
Like, it's, like, nominally Christmas, but absolutely, like, I don't think... I know sometimes we rail on movies for having too much Christmas music, but this... Well, I don't think this movie had any... I mean, there are a couple musical numbers. Okay. I don't know. Doesn't evoke that Christmas feeling, which I think is a thing, you know?
Yeah. I would even be willing to say this is like value neutral Christmas as far as I'm concerned. I would say this is a 0.
I can go with a 0.
Okay.
I can feel you on that. It's carbon neutral Christmas.
So back to the K Dumbers, his complaint with Grinch and Billy and Mandy is that it makes no sense that a skeleton would be able to fart.
Of course, because that's your primary concern. This guy has to be, this is a joke, this guy's joking.
Quote, how can even a skeleton character flatulate easily, end quote.
Okay.
Well, so you got the hip bones, and then when the gas passes through, there's nothing for them to flap against. So yeah, point taken.
No sphincter, no stars. Buenos dias, Mandy.
So the y-axis, how good is Puppy Star Christmas?
Not. It is not.
It really is not. It's the kind of movie that any sane, logical adult shouldn't have to watch under any circumstances, but if you do watch it, you can actually look away from the screen for half the running time and not miss a thing.
Not at all, no.
Or watch it at times 2 speed and not miss a thing.
Yeah.
I am more entertained by this review of Grinch and Billy Mandy than I was.
by the entirety of this film?
Yes.
It's too far at this point. This is the fourth one that they've done of this.
Right.
For it to have any benefit of the doubt whatsoever.
Well, I think maybe what might be going on here is they realize they can just cut out the Santa Buddies and Air Bud, movies like that, were made to some extent with the idea that, like, okay, you're going to have your parents taking you to this if you're a kid that's watching this. So we have to at least put in some sort of semblance to get the parents to be like, well, I'm not going to take you to the second one because the first one was absolute garbage. Yeah. There's like a minimum level that you have to pass to get the parents to show up for the second one.
But now that it's on Netflix.
No, Netflix, that's all out the fucking window. No. You're competing with Elsa Spider-Man at this point, so.
I'm going to give this it's.
Well, let me hit you with the quality ratings from our last three buddies.
Yes,
Christmases.
Yes, please.
Santa Buddies, we graded this a 3-4.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then Search for Santa Paws, we gave a 0-5.
Yeah.
And then Santa Paws 2, a 3-3. And so I think we actually landed on Santa Paws 2 being better than being the best of these, actually. So
it had the really good musical number with the sisters and the cookie.
Yes, and I think we gave it. Good. I think we gave it a point just because of that.
That's true.
That was a good number.
I do recall that.
I'm gonna go. Well, based on those other ratings, I'm gonna go ahead and say this is a -5 because this doesn't even have the benefit of J.O. crystals. This is a big fat nothing.
-6.
It's that bad. Yeah, I mean that's a fair point because we spent the first half hour of this episode talking about potato chips. So yeah, I'd say a -6 is perfectly warranted.
Yeah, no crystals, no -5. It gets a -6.
Are we really doing this? Are we breaking the crankometer? Is this the one that is going to break the crankometer?
We've broken the crankometer before. Not in this direction. I don't think.
But no, this is the movie of all these buddies films. This is the one that cares least about its own universe, even though it insists on continuing with the universe. It has
it's completely cynical.
It has no regard for its own plot because Tiny and Pup have no idea what's going on until the last 20 minutes of the movie. They didn't even know that there is a problem until the end of the
movie. Our kids are missing.
Yeah.
Can you find them? Yeah.
And it's complete disregard for, like, just the structure of a narrative film and how things should work. And it's just like, hey, kids, look at these dogs.
Yep.
And the fact that the humans can now interact with the dogs on, like, a human level means the dogs talk more and they say nothing.
So this movie was written by, it was written by, first off, Robert Vince. And also, you know, the guy who was the actual guy on DMZ, he's the other writer.
Oh.
Which he is the script coordinator somehow on Pupstar Better Together World Tour, which I would not brag about that if I was him.
More like script on coordinator, am I right?
Whoa, you couldn't see it, but my bow tie just spun around.
Do we want to know what Pup Academy is at all?
No.
Is it Police Academy but dogs?
No, it is Harry Potter but dogs. It is where dogs go to learn how to, puppies go to learn how to be man's best friend.
Listen, if we were a Harry Potter podcast, we would have a lot more to talk about than Pup Academy, or whatever it's called, Pup Academy.
Like how J.K. Rowling is a friggin'
a disgusting turf. Yes.
A disgusting turf, yes. That's exactly what I was going to say. I mean, it's pretty, we're not, I don't think we're going to get too in the weeds, but it's pretty gross for a children's writer that has such a big audience to be that way. Let's just put it that way. Come on.
Especially when so many of her fans are the very people she is, like, actively harassing.
Yes.
By saying yes. These things.
Yes.
Like, none of us here are Harry Potter people, right?
Harry Potter is a rich orphan who grows up to be a magic cop. What the fuck do people expect to have any sort of good thing come out of that fucking series?
Well, what define Harry Potter people? I mean, obviously no, but
fans of the fantasy series Harold J. Potter. I don't know what his full fucking name is.
I mean, I read the first four books and then I watched the rest of the movies and they're okay, but not like, I haven't taken a quiz to see which house I'm in. If that's where you're going with
this.
Oh,
I did that. I got Slytherin. I got Nazi House, which has a bunch of things in, on part of where being like, actually, it's not Nazi House. I was like, really? I read the books and it said it was Nazi House. So
yeah, it's Blood Purity House.
Isn't it great how Hogwarts just like lets them continue to exist in that house and they'd have no way of extracting that house from the campus?
Yeah,
they love it.
And it's just like, well, in their defense, Merlin was a Nazi too, apparently.
Great.
All I was getting at when I was saying that was, actually, I don't
even, where even were we in our conversation about Puppy Star Christmas before we got off on this tangent?
I don't know, but I don't like it. Okay. So we're settled on a 0-6, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Booker, that's a 0-6 on our crankometer.
Sorry for breaking the scale.
Puppy Star Christmas, may God have mercy on your soul.
You can just put a little trash can down in the bottom left corner of the crankometer and just kind of gently place Puppy Star Christmas down into that trash
also
can.
Also place J.K. Rowling in that trash can.
Yes.
Yes.
There you go. That's the spirit.
We're done. We're done here. We don't have anything else to say about Puppy Star Christmas or Harry Potter or any of that stuff. But I do want to thank you for listening to this entire rambling mess of a podcast we have. And if you've stuck with us through thick and thin, and if you listened to us on our last episode and you listened to the entire 2-hour ramble fest, thank you.
Just to pull back the curtain a little bit, that was at least partially intentional.
Oh yeah.
So if you are the kind of person that listened to all of that, wow, and thank you, and we're flattered. And can we recommend some other more enriching pod? No, I'm just kidding.
Hey, I have another more enriching podcast that I can recommend.
It's OST Party.
Yes. If you're listening to this on the Tuesday it comes out, we are preparing to release an episode on the film Dick Tracy, which I discovered takes place between Christmas and New Year's and has absolutely nothing at all to do with Christmas.
So if you want actual substantive conversation about a film and its soundtrack, please go listen to OST Party. It's available wherever podcasts are found.
If there's anything else you want to send to us, like questions or comments or Christmas things you want us to cover on the show, hey, send those to us at xmascreeps@gmail.com or tweet at us at Christmas Creeps on Twitter. We're on Facebook, too. We're on all your favorite podcatcher sites. Go do your thing and like and subscribe and tell people that this is your favorite podcast for people who like to shit on Christmas movies. Because you know what? We enjoy doing it. I say we enjoy doing it. I don't know if we actually enjoy doing it. We just do.
Well, every once in a while we watch a thing that's good. Like, we watched Cobra one time.
Yeah, I think for all of the bad Christmas movies we've watched, I think the how good the good Christmas movies are balance out. Where somebody comes up to me and says, hey, I heard you're on a podcast about Christmas movies. What are your favorite Christmas movies? I get to recommend really good Christmas movies. Because I actually know what's good and what's friggin' garbage.
What's friggin' not.
Yeah.
Well, hey, folks. That's Christmas Creeps, everybody. I hope you enjoyed it, and I hope you come back for episode 102, when we're not going to call our shot. We're just going to fly by the seat of our pants and hope that something good comes out of it.
We're going to watch Cobra again.
When we called our shot, we ended up watching Puppy Star Christmas, and I think that was a huge misstep.
That was a mistake. Oh, boy. All right, folks. Well, till next time, this has been Christmas Creeps. I've been Joseph Wade.
I'm Johnny Five, the human robot.
And I'm Bradford, and I'm also interrupting everybody all the time because that's what I do.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
And interrupting Bradford.
Moo.
Good night, everybody.
The joke doesn't work when you don't interrupt each other.
Good night. Happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas.